Sometimes I even submit a topic that I don't know, and it's like, I'm going to use this as a challenge to learn it. Find yourself like getting good at it. Like, that's what I've been doing, actually, especially when it came to testing.
It is called talk-driven development.
Ah, yeah, that's okay. I never heard about it. That's a good one.
What's up, good people? Welcome to another episode of the Concurrency Podcast. I'll be a co-host, Dave Kibika, and I'll be co-hosting this with...
I'm Herman Kibue.
Yeah. And it is becoming increasingly important to stand out as a great software developer. With more people getting into the space and more people wanting to be part of communities and to get into tech jobs, it is important that you as a developer prove yourself and stand out from everyone else. And one of the ways to stand out as a great software developer is to become a Google developer expert. And so who better to talk to about Google Developer Expert Program than the man himself, Wayne Gakuo?
Yeah.
So, what's up, Wayne?
Thank you. Good, good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing Welcome. Good, man. Yeah, so introduce yourself
really
to the people.
Forward to this.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming. It's been a while.
Yeah, almost everyone, if I ever tell anyone, hey, I'd like to have you on the pod at a certain month, just add 2 months after that. Then that's the actual day. So I told you we are supposed to do this like in February. And right now it is already May. So anyway, we're here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So yeah, just introduce yourself to the people and just a bit of who you are and what you do.
Hi everyone. My name is Wayne Gakuo. I'm a front end engineer at a company called Sky Garden. I also lead communities. I'm a lead for GDG Pwani, which is situated in the coastal region of Kenya. And I also lead Angular Kenya, whereby we bring in anyone who's interested in learning about the Angular framework and, you know, just knowing tips and tricks on how to build highly scalable apps. And apart from that, I am a gamer, but not a really good one. I usually say I'm still training myself to become a good FIFA gamer. I love playing FIFA.
For real?
But not, yeah. but not the foot one. I play mostly career mode, so mostly creator club. So I just like to see how the players, you know, develop slowly by slowly to, like, you know, get a 19 and start selling them for 200 million and then bring in more people. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So also to, you're also a Google developer expert, right?
Yes. Google developer expert for Angular. Oh, I didn't mention that, but yeah. I'm a GDE for Angular, yes.
So what is that? Like, what is a Google developer expert to begin with?
Yeah, so the Google developer expert program, it's more of a community of, okay, I'm going to be repeating it, experts. But it's more or less people who are well-versed with some of the Google technologies out there. So I'm part of the GDE for Angular. We have various Google technologies out there. There's Flutter, there's Dart, there's Kotlin, there's Android, there's Google Cloud Platform. And it's all about if you're really good at what you do, for example, in Angular, and, you know, you have skills like, you know, mentoring people in Angular, doing talks in Angular, writing about Angular, or just organizing a community about Angular, but you still have that technical depth. Usually Google developers, especially other GDEs from different categories, or even people who are working at Google, when they notice what you're doing and you've been constant at it, and you've shown that level of consistency, they usually, you know, reach out to you, whether personally or through someone, that they'd like to nominate you for the GDE program. And then with that, you're taken to a series of interviews, to test your technical skills, to test how good you are when it comes to community management. What does community really mean to you? And then after you're done with all those interviews, you get that status of becoming a GDE. And yeah.
Nice. Interesting. So it is not something that you sort of apply.
No. The only thing that people apply for is for the road to GDE. So the road to GDE is usually where we have GDEs as mentors, and you have the different technologies. Of course, you have Angular, you have Flutter, you have Android, and you are taken through like a series. I think it's usually like a 3-month training on how to become to how to create, for example, your community CV. So a community CV is basically just kind of like a list of the things that you've done, whether it's speaking engagement, whether it's mentorship, whether it's running a community and all. And with that, they're trying to prepare you for the interview stage. And how it happens when you becoming a GDE without application is it's either a Googler or someone who's working at Google to nominate you, or a fellow GDE, but doesn't matter if a GDE for Android nominates you for an Angular role or an Angular GDE, because in one way or the other, the skills that we possess cuts across all categories, because it's always about community, it's about mentorship, it's about technical depth, and it's about speaking engagements. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Interesting. So I do, let's say, Python, and I'm good at it. I'm running a community in Kenya for Python. So I cannot be accepted as a GDE.
So it depends on how, for example, that programming language kind of like interweaves with that particular Google technology. So for instance, if you're running a Python community, but then you have been speaking more about, let's say, machine learning, and let's say you've been using TensorFlow, right? In some way or the other, TensorFlow and Python are kind of like, you know, crisscrossing each other. So if you use TensorFlow for most of your work, for example, most of your speaking engagements, if you're doing technical sessions, and they've seen that you actually can do it, you've written blogs about it, then you can be considered for it. But it has to be a Google technology. So it's like, for example, the JavaScript. But we have JavaScript for Angular, but in Angular, it's TypeScript. So if you've been doing talks in Angular, talking about TypeScript in Angular, for example, or how to strictly type your app, for example, your logic in Angular and all that. So it has to be kind of like, needs to have like a Google technology on top of it. Yeah.
Mm. Okay. Before we get into like the proper process of how to become GDE, I'm just curious, what is your experience in how you went into becoming a Google developer?
Yeah, so one thing is for sure is I never expected it. That's one thing. The thing is with I had seen GDEs, had known what they do, but not really to that extent of, you know, stalking them or spending time on their websites, knowing what they're all about. But for me, it was about community work, because all this was because of the fact that I had run a number of communities, and more specifically, I was running Angular Kenya from 2019. And I remember our first speaker was a Googler. His name is Minko Getchev. He leads the team at Angular at Google. And we had him as our first speaker, and he was talking about the state of Angular. The feedback we got was they were impressed on what we were doing, you know, trying to bring a community of Angular in the Kenyan ecosystem. We have Angular developers in Kenya, but at that time, they never had, you know, a platform where they can come and share about what they're doing at work, what they're doing as personal projects. So Angular Kenya was kind of like that bridge to have these developers come to showcase to the world what they do. And that's when, you know, we had a number of speakers, not just from Kenya, but we had people from India, we had people from Europe, we had people from the US applying to become speakers. It was very interesting because these are big people. Like when you look at their followership, some of them have 100,000 followers, and you're like, why are these people applying for being a speaker at Angular Kenya? It's a small community, you know. But it's when I learned that they were really, really interested in sharing their knowledge. And this also kind of like made me feel that, yeah, I also need to share my knowledge. Whatever I do, whatever I learn, it's great to always share with the community. And while I was running Angular Kenya, at the same time, I was doing talks in Angular. I was doing talks Angular and Firebase, you know, just anything to do with Angular. And the reason I was focusing mostly on Angular was this is a technology, for example, I started working with. And I loved it because I was really, really intrigued by, you know, how opinionated it is, in the sense that it has a structured way of doing things. And I love the fact that it's so structured. You know, you work with components, you work with services. This is how you communicate to the backend. I loved to visualize how that communication goes between the backend and the frontend. And so I was like, I really need to do more on Angular stuff. And so when we were doing so many talks, so many webinars, and then uploading it to our YouTube channel, it really picked up, in the sense that people were watching our videos. Most of our viewers were actually coming from India, like looking at the statistics. And like right now, we have about over 1,000 subscribers on our YouTube channel. And that means like, yeah, this was something that people are always looking forward to, you know, just a place where they can find content in Angular, whether beginner, whether intermediate, whether as an expert. And so having all this, and at the same time also challenging myself, because I learned that you learn by teaching. And when I really took that quote seriously, because I found myself understanding concepts the more I talked about it during these events and during these webinars. And fast forward to, I think, around 2021, where we were working with this, it's called This Dot Community. They were having like an Angular virtual world tour. And I reached out to them. It's like, hey, can we do something for Kenya as well? They're like, yeah, sure. So when we were in the planning phase with them, they told me like, hey, Wayne, Minko had something to share with you. And I was like, okay, Minko is here in this email thread. What is he doing in this email thread? And later on, that's when it's like, hey, Wayne, we've seen what you do with Angular Kenya community, and you've been mentoring a lot, and we'd like to nominate you for the GDE program. And I was like, wait, what? Because I had not expected it. And funny thing was that it was at a time when I was like trying to see, okay, so how can I become really, really better at Angular? It came at the right time, because that even challenged me even more to become really, really outspoken when it comes to Angular, talk about different parts of Angular and all that, and try to explore Angular. Because at that time, I was more of at a, I would say, beginner intermediate level, like trying to really understand the framework. Because the framework is it's quite huge, and it's quite interesting, because it has a lot of moving parts, and you cannot understand everything at once. And I remember, like, I even screenshotted that message, like, this should be framed somewhere. And that's how I got to become a GDE. Yeah.
Okay. And how has the experience been after that? What are some of the things that you now do that you didn't or you couldn't then? Yeah.
Yeah. So after I went through a couple of webinars and I saw that I was repeating so many topics, I was like, this has got to change. Because as a GDE, in as much as you don't have pressure, you have pressure to deliver content. And so this really challenged me to explore other topics in Angular, you know, things like testing. Funny things, like, I was really, really scared of testing. I was like, I don't know how to test. I don't know how to write tests. I don't know what these tests are about. When you look on Twitter about testing, or just the tech space in general, not many people write tests. So I was really, really skeptical about this topic. It's like, I might go in there and just flop. But when I got to, you know, learn about testing and then doing talks on it, it made me even feel more challenged to like explore other topics that you're afraid of, you know. And that's when I found myself talking about testing. I talked about things like how to work with stream of data and all that. Back then, they used to be very, very scary. But it's after reading articles, after watching people's YouTube tutorials and explaining them in the most simplistic way possible, and also now getting all those lessons and then coming to your desk and then creating that presentation to make sure that in as much as you're going to be a lot of technical stuff, make it interesting, make it more relatable and all that. That's when I found myself like really exploring topics that I never thought of. But like right now, I'm even exploring topics like server-side rendering in Angular because I found it so interesting. And now that moving towards IO extended, I have to, I'm going to be exploring a new topic. So it's been a thing of trying to challenge myself to become better and better at Angular. Because I feel like I usually tell people that I'm learning every now and then about Angular. So yeah.
Okay. So with that in perspective, for someone listening, and even for someone like me or Haman, just to give us that picture of how to go from becoming, you know, each of us have different things that they could do in order to become a GD. And so could you just highlight sort of how to become a GD and sort of what someone would need to do and the processes involved within the rest? And maybe even the people someone should engage with and things like that.
And I think on my side, running a community, I think you have experience in that. So what is the most challenging thing about it?
So I'll just start with Haman's question as I go into Steve's question as well, because they're more or less kind of like connected. So running a community, I'd say it's more or less a full-time job. Well, you're not being paid. That is one thing for sure. Especially when you're running voluntary communities where you're volunteering as maybe as a speaker or as a tutor, or and it was a matter of trying to find ways on how you can improve other people's lives in terms of their technical skills. And you have to look at, okay, so you've done this particular topic. What other topics are being discussed in this particular community? So it had to be a matter of, like, you know, going out there, maybe on Twitter, look at what people are talking about. And also, a challenge that I personally had was that you are not going to be doing a talk, or you're not going to be having a speaker on board on a webinar if you don't understand the topic they're going to be talking about. So this is a challenge for me because I had to learn what they want to come and talk about, because there's a higher chance that if anyone in your community is going to ask a question, they're not really going to ask the speaker who they had last week. They're going to ask you a swing on, hey, there's this person who talked about ABC, but I do not understand it. So you cannot be there as like, I don't know, you know, I don't know, like, I just brought in. You know, you cannot be saying that. You have to learn something, even if it's the basics, you know, get to learn the basics. And another thing is, and this is I learned it especially when I was leading Google Developer Student Clubs in Ashesi, was that you can't run a community by yourself. In as much as you'd like to be known as the savior or a leader in your community, you will always lack things like ideas and vision for your community, because the beauty of having people part of your core team is that they have very different ideas. They have different perspectives on how they view that particular community. And with having those ideas all together, that's how you create a vision for that particular community. Yes, you can have people come on board to your team and talk to them about your vision, but then they'll tell you, okay, have you thought about A, B, C, and D? Have you thought about this bottleneck? Have you thought about people who are living abroad? How are you going to reach out to them? So those different perspectives really help you to, you know, if you can pivot at what you're doing as a community and all that. And at the same time, you get to avoid burnouts because you're not going to be the only one who is running the community. In our core team, I usually tell people, like, look, this is not my community. This is our community. And it's not even us as core team members, but everyone who is part of the Angular community, Angular Kenya community, they can participate. They can become a speaker if they want to. They can come and volunteer if they want to. And so I usually tell my co-organizers that on some of these tasks, you know, we delegate these tasks and we tell them, like, on this task, you know, on this particular docket, for example, if you are working with our Angular Kenya Office Hours, on that Angular Kenya Office Hours initiative, if you're working on UI, UX design, do it. It's a self. You're being paid to do it, you know. We're not going to give you too much pressure. You know? You're going to work on your own timeline. But, you know, being part of the community, I usually tell people from the get-go, like, this is a community that is active and we like to make it active. And we need all hands on board. I'm not going to tell you it's going to be easy, but that's where we're here for each other as a team. And it's all about delegation of tasks and making sure that each and every one of us plays a part in growing this community. So having a team that shares in that kind of vision and at the same time understand that this is a voluntary work and you're not getting paid for it, but you're making an impact in someone's life. That was a challenge I personally had to learn and make use of my connections, make use of people that I know in the particular tech space. Yeah. And moving towards like about how to become a GDE. One thing I tell people, or I tell anyone who is interested in being a GDE, is let it be a motivation, but not the end goal. And the reason is because you can make it, for example, the end goal. Like, I want to become a GDE. I want to be known globally. But if you become a GDE and that was your end goal, so what next? Are you going to stop there? You know, let it be a motivation in the sense that I want to help people to learn, for example, about Flutter. But in as much as I want to become a GDE, I want to use that stage as a way of, you know, reaching out even to more people across the world. So, for example, when I started off speaking at events or webinars based here in Kenya. But now, when I applied for what is called Angular Tiny Conf. It's being run by who actually recently became a GDE. It's called Adi. Adi comes from Senegal, but right now he's based in the US. And when I saw the call for speakers, I was like, I really need to, you know, reach out and apply. And I found myself actually speaking to people who are based in the US. And for me, that was mind-blowing. It's like, okay, I'm used to my Kenyan audience, but this time I'm actually speaking to the US audience. So this now became, my status as being a GDE became like a propeller to even reach out to more audiences abroad, whether it's in India, whether it's in the US, whether it's in Europe, and all. And also, it widens your network. So for instance, we are planning to have Angular Festival here in Kenya. And the organizer of one of the biggest Angular conferences in the world just reached out and is like, hey, Wayne, do you have anything coming up in the Angular Kenya community? I'd like to be part of it because I've seen what you guys are doing. And now he said that he wants to come to Kenya and we'll be having our festival in July. You know, we're still doing the planning. And the guy, I can't remember his name. He's called Dhananjay. Yes, Dhananjay. Dhananjay is the organizer of NG India. It's one of the biggest conferences like I've seen. After, of course, like things like NG Conf and all. So NG India has thousands of people flocking in. They have thousands of people RSVPing, but only a few get in because they have very limited slots. And I think one thing that's mind blowing for me is like they usually have these big screens on the stage. And for me, it's like, this is very nice, you know? And having him reach out to me because of what we do at Angular Kenya has really opened me up to, you know, even more people out there just to get to know more about our community. And for me, that's what I want. I want people to know about Angular Kenya. You know, we're also going to be having people coming in as sponsors for our events, people coming in with opportunities. That's what we want for this particular community. So it gives you that opportunity to even meet more people who can also be able to drive your vision where you want it to be. Yeah, and So some of the steps is it's usually even in the website. Probably we'll share it in the notes. Have a website, and at this website they talk about what the experts are all about, you know, and what can you do, for example, to become a GDE. And one of the things they always talk about is you having solid expertise in area featuring any Google technology. So as I mentioned, things like Android, Google Cloud, machine learning, web, Angular, and so much more. You just need to have that kind of like solid expertise. You need to be knowing what you're saying, right? And it's not about you talking, but you can show it, you know, things like code labs, demos, and all that. And probably a question that maybe some of your listeners might have is like, do I need to have a CS degree to become a GDE? No, you don't. It's all about your skills. Nowadays, whenever you go to any company, they don't care about your papers. They care about what can you do. So it's about what can you do, not about what you do. It's what can you do. So that's why they ask for your GitHub repo, they ask for your projects, they ask for your portfolio, and all that. And another thing they're always looking at for you to become a GDE is showing a significant number of contributions in the developer community. But it's not being limited to just speaking, but you know, if you're publishing content, if you mentor other developers and companies. I'd give an example of Haron Wangereka. So Haron Wangereka is also a writer. Like, he's authored a book right now, and right now he's working on another book. But at the same time, he's also, you know, mentoring people who are interested in Android. He's been doing talks on Android. So it's not just a matter of like, you know, going out there and just speaking at events, but also if you're a publisher, you can also be considered to being a GDE. And another one is they usually say is just ability to articulate clearly and provide meaningful advice to others. So I think that's one or the other related to things to do with mentorship. So, you know, telling people like, this is how you get started, for example, in Angular, or this is how you get started to be part of tech communities. Yeah, and I think that's pretty much it. They have another one that is ability to interview in English, but I've heard of some other people like having those interviews in Spanish because they're really diversifying. They're trying to have as many people as part of the community. I'll give an example of, he's called Amani Bisimwa. I'm not wrong. Sorry if I probably mispronounced his name. Amani Bisimwa is a GDE for Firebase, and he's really, really good at what he's providing out as content. So he does his content in French, and he's based, I'm not sure if it's DRC or Congo, I'm not really sure, but he does his content in French, and it's all Firebase in French. So they have more people as part of the interviewing team, if people maybe might have difficulties maybe interviewing in English and all that, but yeah, that's pretty much it on how to become a GDE. But the most important thing, if you're out there and you're listening to this, is have the GDE, being a GDE, as a motivation but not the end goal, right? Have it to be at a way like, I want to use this platform so that it can propel myself to reaching out to even more people out there and sharing my experiences. And at the same time, It opens you up even to opportunities for yourself. For example, if you want to work at a particular company, that's usually like a stepping stone towards that goal. Yeah.
Okay.
So from research, I've also seen the part of open source projects. So yeah, and you, as a developer, you know, like contributing into open source projects is one of the hardest thing to do, because like most people have the question like, where should I start?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
what advice do you have about that?
So when it comes to open source, I usually tell people, don't try to look for big project. It can be a simple project as a community project. I'll give an example of Android 254. So Android 254 usually have the DroidCon KE app open to anyone who's interested in, you know, contributing something. if you feel like you have some skills, maybe if it's in design or if it's just in testing and all that, I usually like reach out to the organizers and see how you can contribute. I know they have like guidelines on how you can contribute, but even if it's just any other project, just always check, for example, if it's MIT licensed, because if it's MIT licensed, it means it's open sourced and therefore can contribute. So identify a project of interest and look if it's open sourced. And if so, see how you can best, you know, be part of it. For example, if you want to be proofreading some of the text, for example, in that particular application, for instance, or if you want to be resolving some of the bugs that we have on that particular application. And you as a user can actually become a debugger in some way, because if you be interacting with that particular application or that web app and you see some bug and you feel like you can be able to, you know, solve that particular bug, open up an issue and then provide like a solution. And that's actually how you become an open source contributor. So it's not just about code. It can be even documentation. It can be about bugs. It can be about identifying those bugs, not even just bug fixing, but identifying bugs. It's also open source. If you're someone who likes to, you know, go over onto an app and just dismantle things one after the other to find issues on it, that's also open source. It's just that it has to be meaningful and it has to be something that is going to help, for example, the maintainers to make that particular project even better. But if you're interested, just go to GitHub. There are tons and tons of open source projects. Or if you're part of a community and they have any open source project, just always reach out to organizers and they'll tell you how to get started.
Interesting. So to add on that, I think as a developer also, there are tools that you are using. Let's say some plugins or something. So that is a very easy part to start on open source. Because it is something that you're already using, you can just go to the code base and actually fix up an issue that you feel needs to be fixed in order to solve your current issue.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Nice. So for a bit of a segue, let me give you guys a story. So last year around June, at the beginning of last year, I was very intentional that I wanted to do more speaking engagements. And so the first one I applied for was IO Extended. And it got accepted. So I was speaking on Google Maps beyond the map. And yeah, so we were at Strathmore University. So I get into the room. A lot of people are seated there. I mean, it's Google Maps. Everyone wants to see maps. So I start speaking on maps and this lady walks in, sits right there at the door. And then if anyone has ever seen me talk, I usually talk, my slides are usually like 300 now. So I do that. And after the talk, the lady who walked in comes up to me and goes, she taps me and goes, "Hi, Steve, see me after this." So I shake a few hands and then I find the lady and then talk, and then she goes, "Hi, my name is Alela and I'm a community manager at Google. Would you want to be a GDE for Maps?" And I was like, "What?" And she goes, so there's no GDE for Maps in Africa right now. Would you want to be a GDE?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure." So she gave me her contact. After that, I was supposed to contact her. But I don't know, you're all wondering what happened. So what happened is, a few minutes after that, I got into a conversation with some guys, I don't want to put their name. And we spoke about the Google technologies and becoming a GDE. And yeah, I think I got out of the conversation discouraged from becoming a GDE, and so I never explored the opportunity. And yeah, maybe I should reach out to Alan. But anyway. So you spoke about motivation and choosing the right thing. And I think for me, even that, making the decision of not pursuing that, becoming a GDE for Mac, was because I did not feel motivated Because you see, it wasn't my motivation to do the talk was not because I really wanted to become a GDE or anything. It was just because I wanted to talk. I would have talked about anything that day. And so you've talked about motivation and choosing the right thing. So yeah, we are at that point. Someone has chosen the right thing. Maybe they have a mailing list or they have a podcast where they talk about something, Firebase or a Firebase community. So now from there, what is the next step into now getting into the program? Because now up to that point, they've chosen what they want to do and they are motivated properly. So how do they actually now get into the program?
Okay. I'll definitely advocate for you reaching out to Alela because you never know, man.
Alela, I'll contact you.
There's a lot of interesting stuff happening with the MAPS community. But anyway, this is by the way. So I think when someone has already chosen what they're interested in, for example, if it's a technology, it's now the next step is to contribute to the community. And this could be talking or speaking engagements. It could be technical articles. It could be video YouTube tutorials, for example. And whenever you're done with that, those kind of things, or if you have an engagement, I usually advocate for people to share it with their friends, with their peers, with their community. If you have a social media handle, share it on social media and tag people who one or the other interested in that technology or interested in that engagement. And you never know. Maybe someone who might retweet, for example, what you tweet, that retweet can actually reach out to someone who is part of that particular team. And that's when you're usually told there's someone always watching. So if today, for example, let's say you tag me that you're going to be talking about Google Maps, let's say at KU, and I retweet your tweet. I just see it on my timeline, I retweet. And maybe someone who is following me is part of the Google team or Maps team at Google, and they see it. There's a higher chance that they'll follow you because they want to see, okay, what does this guy talk about Maps, for example? I'm very interested in attending the webinars and all. And funny thing is that they usually don't announce themselves even when they come and attend your talks. They'll just be seated somewhere. If it's physical, maybe sit at the back and join the attendees and just listen to you. Or if it's a webinar, they'll just join with their personal accounts and just listen to what you do. And usually it's said like with time, when you've been consistent in talking about Google Maps, different topics in Google Maps, that's when they'll actually say like, yeah, this person is consistent and the person provides really good technical talks or does really good technical writing. Would like to consider them for this this opportunity session. So that consistency of mentorship, speaking engagement, writing, if you're someone who likes to write, engage in the, like, do it as many times as possible. Don't be like, I'm only going to be doing it from DevFest to DevFest or from IO Extended to IO Extended. It can be even today, let's say, I've learned how to resolve bugs when it comes to Angular. Write something small about it, share it with someone. There's a high chance that it's going to help someone else who's working with Angular. It does not matter how big or how small the topic is, because it's always about the consistency and your technical depth. Like, how do you understand this particular technology? And when you become more consistent with it, that's when you'll actually be considered for that opportunity. From what I heard, but it varies, it usually takes like about a year and a half to 2 years to you to really, really consider to becoming a GDE. So that means in between that time, you need to be consistent. That's why I say don't become a GDE as an end goal, but let it be a motivation. Right? Keep on doing your talk, keep on doing your technical writings and all that. And there's a chance that you'll definitely be considered for that role or for that particular step. So, yeah.
Nice. So I know we are talking about Google technologies, but just something else that came out of me speaking at IO Extended was, so after I spoke about the map, some program managers from AWS Consulting. And what they wanted to talk about was there is an equivalent of Google Maps in AWS called Amplify Geo. And so basically, they wanted to talk to me about Amplify Geo and how better they can make Amplify Geo to match up, to match to Google Maps. And I mean, it was pretty interesting. Just from seeing, again, the point that you said, you never know who is watching, you never know who is following. And yeah, that was also pretty interesting. So, yeah. Anyway, so we've come from finding our space and doing our own thing, and then to this point where now someone has become a team. So, and I know you've highlighted some of this, but yeah, what are some of the benefits of becoming a developer?
I think my biggest and I love about GDE is sleeping at 5-star hotels. and it's not just about sleeping at 5-star hotels, but then it's the work that you put in for you to be able to sleep at those 5-star hotels. And it's because as a GDE, that's why I said there's no pressure, but there is pressure. You have to deliver content. And for you to be, for example, be booked at Kempinski, for instance, or Radisson Blue, you need to be going there to doing something. If you're going to be doing a talk, for example, let's say, for example, right now I'm in Mombasa and we have a DevFest Nairobi and I go speak about Angular. We usually have a platform where we do our trip bookings, whereby we request for support for the travel and accommodation. And I can just go there and say that I'm going to be speaking at DevFest Nairobi. This is what I'm going to be speaking about. And this is my speaker acceptance email, because we usually attach screenshots. And this is what, like a short brief about your talk. And then, of course, we have like a budget, and then you choose the flight and you can choose the hotel. So it's up to you to make sure that whatever you're booking is within that particular budget. And for example, in Kenya, the budget is really, really good to sleep at 5-star hotels. So you look at that, and the beauty of it is like you don't need to do much. You just need to go and deliver content, and you can sleep in any big hotel that you want. I just have to make sure it's within the budget. And I think another benefit is, as I mentioned, it opens you up to a large network or so many people out there who are interested in hearing what you have to say. And I'll give an example of, I think it was a talk, not as a talk. I got invited to this InfoBeep community, right? So at InfoBeep, so someone actually referred me to InfoBeep. So InfoBeep, they deal with like things like USSDs, communication with your clients and all that. That's a story for another day. But someone reached out, someone referred them to me, to come and talk about communities and all that. So this just shows you that, you know, with whatever you're doing, people are always looking and they'll always refer you. Like, oh, you want to talk about communities? For example, go to Steve or go to Hammer, go to Wayne. You know, people know what you do, and therefore they will always refer you this opportunity. And another thing, the biggest benefit being a GDE is you get invited to any Google event. As long as maybe if they're interested to invite every GDE, there's a higher chance that you'll be invited to that for that particular event. So I'll give an example of like last year, we had the Firebase Summit. And it was held in New York, the US. I had never been to New York. It was my first time. I'd been to the US for a couple of times for other stuff. But it was my first time in New York. But because I'm a GDE, it does not matter which technology, by the way. This was a Firebase Summit. And I'm someone who works with Angular. I've worked with Firebase from time to time. But they invited all GDEs. Not all GDEs, but a few of them. And they extended that invitation to Angular GDEs, Android, Flutter, and all. And as long as you just had a visa, they cater for your trip back and forth, they cater for your accommodation and all that. So it's just for you to just pick your bag and go there and just listen to those talks. And I think that's one beauty about it. Like any Google event, you can be invited to. Earlier this year, I was invited to Flutter Forward. And if there are any other summits, for example, that are maybe happening on the continent or even outside, you get to be invited. Like, for example, we got invited to IO Connect, which is going to be happening in Netherlands. So being a GDE is not just about, you know, like you going doing talks, going to do talks and all that, but you also get invited to these Google events. Even Google I/O itself, you get invited to it. Right now, it's because of COVID and all that, so there's just slowly coming back to normalcy. But you also get invited to Google I/O events. So, yeah.
Nice, nice. I mean, for something that still gives you that badge of approval. It seems like a pretty good program.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, I feel like we've exhausted everything we wanted to ask, unless Aman, you still have any pending questions?
No. Very insightful.
Yeah. So, if for everyone out there who's considering, not considering you're looking for something to do in order to stand out, just get involved in community, do something out there, and yeah, hopefully become part of the GD program. I mean, it is important for us to even as the Kenyan tech community to have more GDs come into the space, because it also acts as an approval that whatever is happening is really important stuff. So yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I think we need as many Kenyan GDEs as possible. Because, for example, in Angular, we are only two Angular GDEs in Kenya and in Africa. I think Flutter, we have quite a number. But I know of only one. That's interesting, by the way. Only one Flutter GDE
in Kenya.
Yeah. But right now she's based in Germany.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, her name is Maureen. I don't know if you know her. Oh yeah. But yeah, so Maureen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Maureen is a Flutter GDE, but she relocated to Germany. And I think that's one of also another perk of becoming a GDE. When you become a GDE and you apply to these roles and you have it in your CV somewhere or in your portfolio, they know that, like, yeah, we are hiring an expert, and that's therefore it opens you up to some of these great opportunities. So you can see that we've even had, for example, Hannah. Hannah is an Android GDE, and she used to work here in Kenya, and she got this job to relocate to Germany, and now she's based in Germany. And you know, we need more Kenyan GDE people coming from Kenya who are GDE. It doesn't matter which technology. Because like we had two Firebase GDEs, and then one of them actually got absorbed into Google. His name is Rosario. Rosario comes from Mozambique, and he started off as a Firebase GDE, and now he's part of the Firebase team and works in the London offices. And now we had one remaining, but then Amani Bisimwa, who is from DRC, became part of the GDE program. So now we have two Firebase GDEs with one plus one who is working for Google. So it opens you up to so much opportunities. Like, you can even be considered for Google roles. You know, never know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially right now that Google is actively hiring in Nairobi. Nice. So here I am sleeping on my maps.
On your maps, yeah.
My map potential.
But you are discouraged, remember.
I'm going to tell you the story after this. I'm going to tell you the story after this.
Anyway, okay.
So at the end of every episode, we like to get a glimpse into the mind and the philosophies of our guests. So for you, Wayne, we'd like to hear what you're currently interested in. It could be anything. It could be a movie. It could be a book. It could be FIFA. So,
I currently am, well, when it comes to tech, I am interested in, of course, visiting new cities. I plan to do that, especially during the IO extended period and the first period. Different cities. I would love to explore other cities, especially here in Africa, the different countries, because I feel like there's so much you can learn from these different cities, different countries. Because there's so much. Like when I was at Ashesi back in Ghana, I was in Accra, and there's so much. There's a lot of similarity between Accra and Mombasa. One, of course, it's hot, and there's beach and all that, and they eat a lot of food with pepper. They call it pepper. They eat a lot of food with pepper. And that's what we do even as well in Mombasa. Like, you cannot eat food without pilipili. Like, I couldn't have like itam bila pilipili. It's like when you go and eat pilau and it doesn't have meat, for example, or it doesn't have kachupari. Yeah. Like, lazima
yeah, that is pilipili.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. So just trying to, you know, learn cultures, learn the different cultures and all. And also at the same time, just explore different topics in Angola, because I feel like there's so much I personally like to learn more about, and such opportunities provide me with that challenge to, you know, get to know more about this topic and then go and talk about it. Sometimes I even submit a topic that I don't know, and it's like, I'm going to use this as a challenge to learn it.
Then you find
yourself like getting good at it. Like, that's what I've been doing actually. Especially when it came to testing.
It is called talk-driven development.
Ah, yeah, that's okay. I never heard about it. That's a good one. Because I remember, especially with the testing, when we were told about there was going to be, is it DevFest Kigali? So DevFest Kigali was the first DevFest that was happening across East Africa. And at that time, it was coinciding with, we had gone for a GDE summit for Sub-Saharan Africa, and it was being held in Kigali. And we were told, like, if you're interested in giving a talk, submit a talk. And I was like, I've talked about introduction. I've talked about components. I've talked about how to get started. I need to do something different. I was like, hey, I'm always scared of testing, so let me try and submit testing. So I submitted testing. Then went to Google, just read about brief about testing. And then the description, I just picked some few words and all, like, just tied it to Angular and then provided it as a description. I knew, like, okay, wait, this is something that I'm not ready for, but I have to do it. So when I clicked on submit, I was like, that's it. There's no going back. So I went ahead and, like, just prepared for it. And to my surprise, like, wait, why was I scared of this thing? It's very interesting. It's very simple, you know. So yeah, I also want to do that again this year with different topics. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, and apart from that, yeah, I still want to get good at FIFA. Yeah. I want to get good at FIFA.
Okay. Fantastic. So that was wonderful. For everyone out there, even you, Haman, I seriously encourage you to do a talk, especially with IO coming up and all the events starting to come up.
Okay.
Please.
Challenge accepted.
Thank you. For those who have listened this far, thank you so much. This has been the Concurrency Podcast, and today we are talking about how to become a GD with Wayne Gakwo. Thank you so much, Wayne, for coming on.
Thank you.
Yeah, for guests, this is what you do. Make sure you follow the Concurrency Podcast on your favorite podcasting platform so that you get notified once we publish. And yeah, catch you in the next one. Thank you, Ray.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.